My Bible tells me in John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 3, except a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. He won't even see it. He won't even see it at a distance. He won't even come close. Except a man or a woman or a boy or girl is born again, you will not make it into heaven. And I need to ask you, are you sure you're born again?
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the message we will hear this week, Pastor Brian Grant resumes his progress through the book of Acts. We are now in chapter 24, from which Pastor Grant will be looking afresh at the message of the gospel and what it meant for that great apostle and missionary to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. We will see how that unchanging gospel offered incomparable hope to mankind in Paul's day and carries the same message of hope for us today, even in our much disillusioned and disillusioning world. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 24, verses 10 through 25, and be thrilled with us once again as we are reminded of the unchanging promises of the unchanging gospel. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message entitled, The Hope of the Gospel.
A man flew into Chicago and hired a taxi to take him downtown. And as he was riding along, they came to a red light, but the taxi driver went right through the red light. The man said, that was a red light. You're supposed to stop. The driver replied. He said, you know, I know, but my brother does that all the time. So they continued and they came to a second red light. And again, he went through. The passenger was really getting perplexed. He says, you almost got us killed. Why didn't you stop? The driver said, don't worry. My brother does it all the time. Soon they came to a green light. And the driver stopped. The passenger said, the light is green. Now is the time to go. Why did you stop? The driver said, I know it's green, but you never know when my brother may be coming through. And just like this man, the world has turned things upside down. We've rejected the gospel of hope and replaced it with man-made philosophies that lead down a dead-end street. And there are people here this morning, there are young individuals, older ones, there are folks here this morning who so far you have been rejecting this gospel of hope. You have replaced it with some philosophy or some pleasure that you're hoping will satisfy the deepest longing of your life. But I hope this morning, it is our prayer that this morning you will respond to the hope of the gospel. That's what I'm speaking on this morning, the hope of the gospel. Jack Higgins, the best-selling author of novels such as The Eagle Has Landed, was asked what would he like to have known as a boy. He answered, I wish I had known that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. He had no hope. But what we're talking about is full of hope, the hope of the gospel. Before we go any further, I want to bring you two things about this hope of the gospel. Number one, this gospel has a guarantee for tomorrow. It has a guarantee for tomorrow. The hope of the gospel, the believer has citizenship in heaven. Amen? The last time I spoke to you from the Acts of the Apostles, we were in Acts 21, and Paul had been seized in the temple by a group of Jews. these Jews wrongly assumed, and we read this morning, we had read in our hearing Acts 24, which sort of summarized for you what happened in Acts 21 and what happened since. These Jews had wrongly assumed that Paul brought Gentiles into the temple. They dragged him outside, determined to kill him. But by God's providence, the Roman military commander rescued Paul, and later he decided that Paul, to get at the truth, Paul should be whipped. But in Acts 22, and this morning and the next week, we're going to be wrapping up the book of Acts. So we're going to be turning to a couple different chapters. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, Paul gave the centurion a big surprise. Acts 22, verses 25 to 29. And as they bound Paul with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you really a Roman?" Paul said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum of money, I obtained my citizenship. And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had been bound, they could get into trouble. Roman citizenship was a big deal. Rome was the undisputed superpower of that time, and Roman citizenship was highly coveted. A Roman citizen could not be whipped and have the right to demand a trial before a proper court. You could not do what you wanted to do, just anything, with a Roman citizen. You see, the military commander, it tells you here, gained citizenship by paying a large price, but Paul was born with dual citizenship. Paul was a Jew, but he was born a Roman citizen. Now, as you read through the book of the Acts so far, you might not have realized that, because you see other times when Paul was whipped, sometimes by the Jews themselves. But it's interesting, now Paul stands up for his rights as a Roman, and he says, I'm a Roman citizen. How did he become a citizen? Some people believe one of his ancestors received citizenship for outstanding military service. Others suggest he was granted citizenship by being born in Tarsus, a city that had special privilege conferred by the emperor of Rome. Regardless of how Paul got his citizenship, the bottom line is he was a Roman citizen. Paul had Jewish and Roman citizenship, but he never lost sight of the most important citizenship. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the apostle Paul says, "For our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." And like Paul, I am glad I am a citizen of the greatest power on this earth. Oh, we got our problems. But there is no doubt that the United States of America is the greatest nation of our generation. But what truly excites me, listen, is not so much that I'm a citizen of the United States, but it excites me to know that I am a citizen of heaven. How about you? Listen, are you sure you are a citizen of heaven? Oh, it's great to be a citizen of this great country, but the most important thing is to know where you're going. going to go for eternity. Because you see, citizenship in the United States lasts for a while. You may be a citizen for 60 years or 70 years. And if you're very blessed, 100 years. But 100 years is like a drop in the bucket when it comes to the time we're going to spend in heaven. Amen? And I'm a citizen of heaven. And what a place. The Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, for my citizenship, he's preparing this special place for me. I told him on Tuesday night, I heard this preacher say, and I won't call his name because I think he's a crazy man. He said, the Christians talk about streets of gold, that when they get to heaven, they're going to walk the streets of gold. But he said, I want my gold now. But oh, I'm glad I am looking forward to that heavenly city, that city whose streets are made of gold. The Bible says it's as clear as transparent glass. I am glad that one day I'm going to that place where Jesus is. Amen. But I want you to know that to get to that place, you know, to get to this country, you got to get your proper documents. We had a friend come from the island of Jamaica, and she landed in the New York JFK. And when they checked her documents, she didn't have the right documents. You know what they did? They put her back on the next plane and sent her right back to Jamaica. You say, but Brother Brian, they're sneaking through the borders. Yes, they are, and that's why some people are talking about building a wall. I'm not going to say talk about whether you should build a wall or not build a wall. But what I want you to know, you will never be able to sneak into heaven. And God does not have to build a wall. Come, my Bible tells me in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, except a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. He won't even see it. He won't even see it at a distance. He won't even come close. Except a man or a woman or a boy or girl is born again, you will not make it into heaven. And I need to ask you, are you sure you're born again? Come on now. Are you sure that you are born again, that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life, that you have been washed in the blood? Have you received Jesus? Yes, I'm speaking to you young people. I'm not only speaking to the people who are my age and older. I'm speaking to you young people. Are you sure that Jesus Christ lives in your heart? If you're not sure, you need to make sure. And you don't have to be old, because Jesus loves all the little children of the world.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But Paul's declaration of his Roman citizenship started a chain of events that eventually resulted in his trial in Rome. And next week, I'll bring our series on the Acts of the Apostles to a close, and we'll take a look at some of the exciting events that took place on Paul's way to Rome. Don't miss it as we bring this to an end with a message which I'm entitling, The God Who Keeps His Promises. But listen, this gospel of hope doesn't only deal with tomorrow. You see, when I was in college, they used to mock at us and jeer at us, and they used to say, you Christians only worry about pie in the sky. Ah, they're so wrong. But guess what? I'm glad I got some pie in the sky. Amen? Oh, I tell you, we were out at Lake Tobias yesterday, and all the believers, they were so hot. We had a great time in the heat, didn't we? Amen? But I tell you, I am so glad I don't have heat in my future. Listen to me good. You realize if you miss heaven, you won't miss hell. You see, I'm coming there. Let me not rush ahead. I'm going to talk about it just for a minute. So let me not rush ahead. You see, but listen good. This gospel of hope, it's a guarantee for tomorrow. But it's a promise for today. A promise for today. God is working all things for our good. Say that. God is working all things for what? For our good. It's a promise for today. Now, what better gospel can you have than the gospel that deals with tomorrow and deals with today? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." What's stressing you out? What's the drama you're dealing with? What are your disappointments and discouragements? Are you aware that if you know Jesus as your Savior, that God is working all these things to your good? Paul was mugged. He was arrested. He was jailed on false charges. How could this possibly work for good? You got to check the end of the story. You cannot look at where the story is right now and figure the end. You got to check the end. Listen, your drama is not the end of your story. And God is saying he's working it all out. So because of Paul's drama, and guess what? I don't want your drama. And you don't want mine. But here is the drama. What I know, because of the hope of the gospel, that God has given me a guarantee for tomorrow and a promise for today. What I do know is that God is working all these things out. This God who can never lie, this God who keeps his promises, he is saying, "I am working all things together for the good of those who love the Lord." Did you know, because of Paul's drama, in a minute we're going to see that Paul gets to preach to two Roman governors. To preach. Remember now, Paul's only mission is preaching the gospel. And because he is arrested, because he's almost killed, because all of this, Paul gets to preach to two Roman governors. He gets to preach to the king. He gets to preach to the Roman emperor. And sometimes God just throws in a little bit of cake while he's doing it. I don't want you to miss the cake in Acts of the Apostles chapter 24, verse 23. You know, sometimes we fly by these little things. But verse 23, which was read in your hearing, he said, "So the Roman governor Felix commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have what? To let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him." So Paul is supposedly in jail. No, those of us who went to Israel were there. And I want to tell you, The place he was held in jail is the most incredible, one of the most incredible sites in Israel. Herod was a builder. He was being held in Herod's courts, part of the palace. And I want to tell you, this palace was actually built with a part of it. They had to build things in the Mediterranean Sea. So the palace is sitting on the sea with the most spectacular view you can imagine. And it is listen, this thing was so incredible. So much of it still remains today. They have their own little Colosseum that they can have their activities. They have all. And Paul is there, supposedly in prison, and the governor says, give him the freedom. Let him move around. Let him enjoy the place. Let his friends come and visit him. Give him freedom. Isn't it amazing how God is? You see, God is working all things for the good of those who love the Lord. You said, Pastor, are you realizing that I lost my job? Pastor, are you realizing I got a bad health report? Pastor, you're realizing that my marriage is in a shambles? Does what God is saying talk? Paul says, by the way, the one talking, the one who God uses to share this verse of scripture with us is the same Paul who is going through all this drama. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, he's saying, and we know. Stop there. We know. Do you know it? We know that what? Some things work together. Are you sure? We know that all things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord. I'm saying to you, don't give up. God is working things out for your good. Cling to his promises. When Mama Eagle takes the little eaglet soaring in the sky, I told you before what she does. She goes up and then she lets her go. Can you imagine that little baby eaglet? From the baby eaglet's standpoint, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to her. And little baby eaglet is let go, and here she's screaming as she's falling through the air. The worst thing. Right now, some of you are going through the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And that's exactly what Mama Eagle does, because Mama Eagle has a plan. She lets her go and she puts her through the worst experience. But just in time, Mama Eagle, what? She soars beneath her so that little baby eagle can fall on her back. Aren't you glad that God bears us up with eagle's wings? But you think Mama Eagle is done? Mama Eagle, okay. Little eaglet is so glad. She said, hallelujah. It's over. It's over. Let's go back to the nest. Little Mama Eagle said, no, we're going up again. Let's go up one more time. And she takes her up and she lets her go. And little eaglet, woo! Over and over again. And she keeps letting her go, and she keeps crying. Until one day, baby eaglet says, as she lets her go, the baby eagle says, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. And baby eaglet, oh my, I am going even higher. You realize what God is up to? He's working all things
together. Don't miss the together part. He's working all these things together for the good of those who love him. And right now, like Baby Eagle, you figure this is the worst thing. I want to quit. The worst thing that could happen. And God is saying, don't forget my promise. Don't forget my promise for today, that I am able to make all things work together for good. One of these days, hallelujah, you're going to say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. And so in this dark hour, while you deal with life's drama, just remember, God gives a promise for today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.